I'd like to start looking at, for the next few weeks, at the seventh commandment by looking at Genesis chapter 2. So if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you that we know these truths. We know these things, certainly, in a world that is casting off what we just read. And so I pray that we would be teachable now, and we delight in your word. We love you. We thank you for this time to help us, Lord, prepare for coming to your table, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've gone over the sixth commandment for 4 weeks, I believe it was, and in that, we saw that we should do all that we can to preserve life, to preserve the sanctity of life, and in this commandment, "You shall not commit adultery," we see that we should do all that we can to preserve also marriage, and thus the family, and the sanctity of how life begins. Anything that divides and destroys the family, beginning with the relationship between a husband and a wife, hinders the dominion mandate and dishonors the Lord who created the institution of marriage and the family. And there are so many people in this country right now, overtly doing so now anyway, many groups seeking to destroy the family. The enemy has, from the beginning, of course, sought to destroy or pervert marriage, and it hasn't stopped. And there are many people, there are many groups who believe and act in ways that break the family, which begins with one man and one woman. And God hates anything that breaks the family cohesion and the family peace. And so we have this commandment against adultery, against any sexual sin. In this passage from Genesis this morning, we see that God designed marriage, and he made a helper comparable or fit for the man, praise God, complementing him. And Adam recognized that man and woman were made in God's image and that they were distinct and that the man and woman began a new unified institution. He needed a helper, and she was God's gift. And so when God institutes something, like in Genesis 2, he instituted marriage. When he institutes something and commands it, he commands that it be kept sacred. It's holy. And if, a couple New Testament passages would be Ephesians 5 on the holiness of marriage, Hebrews 13:4. But anyone advocating or seeking to undermine the bonds of marriage between a husband and wife is directly disobeying the living God and will reap what they sow, any nation also. And anyone seeking to preserve, though, and encourage godly marriage will be honored by God and blessed by their obedience. And so marriage is for companionship, and also to raise godly seed to be able to carry out the dominion mandate, to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it, and to have dominion over it. And marriage is also for sanctification. God uses marriage, so to speak. He changes us in marriage. As the husband and wife submit to the Lord together, as they look to the Lord together, and as the Lord makes husband and wife one in him. And also it helps us to understand more the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus. Now, this most important relationship, which illustrates the relationship we have with Jesus Christ, should be given a high priority in our lives. A high priority in protection and preservation, in the nourishment of this blessed institution, in every way possible, every way you can think of. And praise God, we have a whole group of people who can encourage us in this. And we need that too. Harmony and intimacy should be protected, and we should work hard to maintain this as couples and as a church. So if our culture continues to degenerate, to denigrate and undermine marriage between a man and a woman, as a society, we will reap, and we are reaping, judgment. The visible church then must pray for and work to help defend marriages and families against all which attack them or undermine them. But praise God, He instituted marriage, and He will have dominion through husbands and wives and families who love Him. So our hope, dear family, is in Him, and our example of right relating is also in Him. How do we understand how to relate rightly in a marriage or in any other relationship? Well, it's by looking at the Godhead, at the relationship in the Trinity. So let us look to the triune God for our example, and to our Lord Jesus for the strength to stand against all the attacks that will continue to come against the sanctity of marriage. So this communion table, this celebration, reminds us that the Lord died to make union with Him possible. And because of that union that we have in Him, we have power and we have grace to preserve marriage and the family. And may it be so. Let's pray. Lord, You ordained marriage for Your glory and for Your kingdom purposes. And we are grateful to You for creating and sustaining this institution. And Lord, we ask that You would protect the marriages represented here, that You'd help husbands and wives to grow in love and respect for each other. And help us, Lord, as a church, to do all that we can to preserve the sanctity of marriage. And Lord, we realize in this communion now, our union with You and the relationship You have with Your church. And we rejoice in it. And we praise You, Father, for calling us into the fellowship of Your Son, into a covenant relationship with You through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we come to this table in joy, in His precious name. Amen.